Welcome to the Art of Slowing Down to Quantum Leap podcast that I created especially for conscious introvert entrepreneurs. And if you desire to grow and quantum scale without the hustle and are ready to discover the missing pieces to effortlessly running a soul-aligned business, then this is for you. And I'm your host, Annalena Fuchs, a human design and energetic alignment coach. And my mission with this podcast is to provide you with a shortcut to your most aligned path to success and financial freedom using a powerful combination of human design, science, and spirituality. And I myself have shifted from working 9 to 5 to now enjoying the freedom of creating things on my own terms. And I want to help you do the same. Welcome everyone to another episode of the Art of Slowing Down podcast. It's your host, Annalena, and I have a beautiful guest here with me. Her name is Aubrey Gates. And before I introduce her, I actually want to quickly share how we connected, because I think it was Tara Bell. She was on my podcast before. She referred you to me because you were asking about true sidereal astrology and things like that, right? And how it affects human design. So she was like, hey, you need to connect with Annalena. That's how we connected. We started to chat. And so we both are manifesting generators in tropical human design, actually 2/4, both of us, funnily enough. And we are both sacral generators in the cosmic or true sidereal human design. So that's how we connected, right? Yes. So I'm going to read your beautiful bio, Aubrey, and then we're going to take it away. So it was in 2020 that Aubrey had a profound and sudden spiritual awakening through her first microdose of psilocybin. Do I say that correct?
Psilocybin. Yeah.
Psilocybin. Okay, perfect. So immediately after that, she dove into all things spiritual, including human design, astrology, plant medicine, gene keys, breath work, meditation, and all the good stuff. And then she quickly realized that she had a passion for her spirituality like nothing she had ever experienced before, and that she also wanted to make this her career and overall lifestyle. And since then, Aubrey had a very trial and error journey to learning to believe in herself, to build the life she envisioned. And she was also diagnosed with lupus, which she now also believes is connected to her struggles to express her creative work. And now, because of these challenges she has faced, she built her dream business and life, and she has such a passion for helping other spiritual women build divine feminine businesses. The kind of businesses where we find more success with ease and play. You're talking my language. And she does this very holistically, using the tools she has found to be most helpful, such as one-on-one mentorship, community and ceremony curation, and so much more. So welcome, Aubrey. I'm so happy you're here.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I would love to have you elaborate a little bit on your journey, because I think it's so much more authentic. I've spoken to people also on my podcast where things like that, macro or microdosing, initiated their spiritual awakening, right? It wasn't the case for me, and it's not necessary for everyone, but I think for many, many people, it's a very important or potent experience in their life.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so as far as macro versus micro, I experiment with both. I've used both. Mm-hmm. I'd still use both. Macro dose is when you're taking a bigger dose of mm-hmm. a plant and having an actual psychedelic journey. Mm-hmm. And that's when I had the spiritual awakening. I had just a really profound experience. I remember looking in the mirror and it was like, it clicked for the first time. Like, there's so much more than mm-hmm. what I've realized. It's like I tapped into that subconscious, the divine, like whatever you want to call it. And then it just like catapulted me into this space of like, I have to know what this is. And it started with research and then became quickly like spirituality and became this embodied thing.
Yeah.
And then, I use microdosing as well as like an integrative tool to help like mm-hmm. create new neural pathways. And I'm really passionate. I love the idea of like bringing and bridging that gap from like human design being this conceptual mental system. And then how do we embody that? How do we tangibly integrate the information to like create change? So that's where like the other tools like breath work and micro dosing and creating goals in this more feminine way where it's not like so structured and regimented. But yeah, it's been a huge tool for me. I am really passionate about plant medicine and all varieties, and I have hopes to use it more.
I know that's awesome. You know, that's also what I have learned with human design over all these years now, that there are so many people like me that do the spiritual work that help people build businesses with more ease and joy and flow and all the things. But we have our unique approaches, right? And Alina's probably not going to be the person to help you with macro or micro dosing, you know, because I don't have any kind of experience with that myself. And for you, that's been a totally different journey, right? From that's actually what got you into all these things, right? And now you are integrating all of this. And I think we have recently, I had this realization, like we have different access points, right? Even like what we learn in human design for me is the spiritual laws of the universe, how we're best designed to manifest, you know, and manifest from what's aligned per our higher purpose and not what the ego wants, right? I think that's also a huge distinction with
Oh
that.
man,
Yeah, right. But
that's a journey.
yeah, exactly. So, but a lot of the things that I talk about from what I have learned in human design, I have conversation with other people from all different areas they come from, also in the spiritual world, but they know nothing about human design necessarily, right? And then I have another conversation where we have the same wisdom we have extracted, but you went on a plant medicine journey and I went into my own spiritual journey just with the Jinkies and human design or whatever it was.
Yep. Yeah, I forgot you're into Jinkies too. I love Jinkies. I've never used that for clients or anything, but it's another fun system.
Tell me about
But I
that.
love that about Jinkies.
Yeah, what do you love about it? How has your experience been?
Yeah, I mean, I found it. I'm just like such a lover. I feel like this is a commonality amongst us human design girlies that like dig into it. Is it, for most of us, I'll be curious to know this if this is true for you. It starts with just this passion. This insane passion to figure out your own chart, and you just dive in. And so then I found out about Jinkies because us human design girlies just like love those systems. Like I love astrology too. I've just never had the pull to figure out the ins and outs of it in the same way as human design. And I feel similarly with Jinkies. I've just popped around, but I actually, as I've connected with you, I've been thinking about like I should look at my Vedic now, tying that in with. Jinkies, I haven't done that yet.
The truth idea version, you mean, right?
Yeah, sorry, I don't know the terminology. I'm not sure of like the differences. It's so new to me.
So Vedic is It's so the we're talking about we have Vedic, which is Eastern astrology, right? It's a different approach, and then we have tropical astrology, but then the what we're talking here right now, the true sidereal is the it's referring to the zodiac system, right? And because the tropical can even be used in Vedic astrology, very few people do it. They mainly use sidereal astrology. But yeah, it's the zodiac constellations in the sky. So, and I have been mostly drawn to true sidereal astrology. Don't ask me why. I thought of my sacral. Don't blame me. Or, you know, I always like to, in a fun way, you know, say, well, it's because of my sacral. But no, I listen to my body, basically. I listen to what's
Yeah.
right to me. That's really what I'm referring here to. And obviously, astrology has been in my life for a really long time because human design integrates also astrology into it, right? And something was always feeling iffy for me with astrology. I don't know why. I didn't get it. There was almost like this wall between me and astrology where I almost didn't want to understand it. And I mean, I did understand some of the basics, obviously, you know, but there was something that I couldn't access. So then true sidereal astrology popped up in my world all around me. At first, it was actually the regular sidereal, which most Vedic and Vedic astrology is being used. And that somehow resonated, but there still was something off because you can also, in the software that I use, Genetic Matrix, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but in there, they have the regular sidereal, and you can even pull your human design chart. And it also changes your human design chart. And in there, I think I was a 6-2 manifesting generator with emotional authority. And the emotional authority just, I was like, no way. But some other things definitely resonated because I became a Capricorn, most more from the astrology perspective. And then cosmic human design came into my life. And then with that, true sidereal astrology, because cosmic human design was inspired by true sidereal astrology. And I don't know if you've listened to my podcast episodes already, but I had Ethan Chimenti on my podcast. He's the person that created the true sidereal astrology and brought it into the
Oh,
world.
wow.
And yeah, so that's also how cosmic human design came about. And with the astrology changes, then these gates change, you know, and then of course your human design chart can change. And for so many people, I think it can be quite an identity loss because I realized we can get so over-identified with the human design chart. And I had a little bit of an awakening moment there. I was like, ooh, hello. Right?
Same exact. Like all of this is the same. That's one reason I was just so excited to talk to you, is because it is like this huge shift when I've been so passionate about this for years and using it in my business. And then suddenly to find cosmic human design and be like, I'm tremendously different. Like it shifts a lot. But for it to resonate and for me to be like, you know, conceptually, logically, how do I explain this to people? Like, this is a strange thing that I can't even explain to myself. Yeah, it is an identity shift.
So how was it for you being a 2-4 manifesting generator? I'm gonna pull up your chart in a little bit. And then you find out that in this cosmic human design, you are, I think, a 4-6 sacral generator. And you also, especially, you went from emotional authority to sacral authority. So I'd love to hear how that felt.
So yeah, I feel like I'm still in this evolution of just kind of figuring it out. Same as you, I'm like, I'm starting to learn to let down this attachment to things. But what feels true for me is I turned 30 last month and I just had this profound identity shift. I did a women's retreat with some friends, had another profound experience similar to my psychedelic experience years ago, but with breath work this time, is a cannabis breath work. And with that, I just came out of that weekend just so empowered. I just felt like a new, powerful version of myself. And I had been saying like 30 is going to be like a shift for me. And then I randomly just came across this cosmic human design, and I found out I'm a sixth line. And I was like, that makes so much sense. Like what I'm feeling about this shift right now in the three-part life phase, like, oh, it just blew me away. And it felt so empowering because I've always looked at sixth lines. One of my best friends, she's a sixth line, actually in both of her charts. And I just think they're so regal. There's so, such a beauty there. And so finding out that that was there for me, yeah, I just loved it. And so while I always identified with that second line and I lost the second line, became a 4-6, there wasn't like a sadness. I just felt empowered because the sixth line felt so beautiful to me. So that felt right. I was just like, okay. And then another big journey for me has been like gaining emotional stability, not lashing out, not reacting, but being responsive. It's still a journey, of course, but finding out that I am emotionally open felt so validating. Because every time someone would talk about having an open ESP and being the archetypal empath and tapping into what others are feeling, I'm like, that feels like me. I'm like, whatever, like, doesn't make sense, but
I
I
think I need
guess.
to pull up your charts as you're speaking.
Really? I need
Yeah,
that.
because so this is your cosmic, because you have a completely open
Totally open.
axis in, right? And you are tropical, just to see the difference. You have emotional authority, right? Very, very different.
And then my 3740 there is my sun Earth on my conscious side. And I do resonate with those still, like the gate of the family of community. So that's where I'm like, there's this, I don't know, there's this interesting balance of like choose the things that serve you. But that open ESP felt really validating. And then the sacral authority also, it felt empowering. It's like, I can trust my gut instinct in the moment. I don't have to wait for that clarity. It almost felt validating to this part of me that's always called myself like indecisive. And it feels like that defined ESP and the MG, the stories about what that entails, felt like it was keeping me in this like lower frequency of validating a part of me that I've been trying to let go of.
So interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt very much like what you described right now, because there's also the 2-4 profile, right? And now I am a 5-1. And I also, like, you attracted 6 lines. I attracted 5 lines left and right. Like, I cannot tell
Yes.
you how
No,
many
same.
five ones I have worked with, I have in my life. I know this profile better than anything. And then I was not surprised when I pulled my cosmic chart that I'm a 5-1 there. And I want to even be careful to say I am. This is simply a perspective. It's almost like you have like an object and you look at the object from different kind of perspectives, right? And I love, love, love what I learned from the 2-4 profile. Oh my God, it has changed my life. Allowing myself to be an introvert, but also loving my community and leaning into my natural gifts and talents, right? Really, that gave me the permission to do that. Now, I have learned over the years, and this is also something, I don't know how deep you are into the Gene Keys, but Richard Rudd always says over and over again that all the 64 Gene Keys apply to all of us. And the 64 Gene Keys is nothing else than the 64 gates, right? It's just more in depth. And in the Gene Keys, we don't have types. We don't need it, right? And also the 6 lines, he always mentions that in order to understand your line, you really want to study all of the lines, how they're interconnected, because they are all interconnected, interrelated with each other. So for me now to even understand the 5 line, it's immensely valuable that I also understand the 2 line and the 4 line. I think
I
without
felt the
that,
same thing.
right? Without that, probably I maybe would have more connected to the shadow side of the 5-1 or something like that. And I think all the people I have worked with so far have helped me so much to see the beauty and the power of the 5-line and also my incarnation cross, because I have gate 51 in my unconscious Earth, for example. That's like the purpose gene key. It's about agitation and provoking people. And
Okay.
the 39 is actually in my unconscious Earth. So I'm like just poking people left and right. And as a recovering people pleaser, that's a big relief, you know?
Yeah, I love that conversation about how the fifth line felt empowering to you, because that's something that I feel like that's been a mission for me when I'm talking to people with a fifth line, is really like reevaluating. I'm sure you know, like, so much of what you can read can feel really negative when you first find out you're a fifth line. It's like, oh great, I'm constantly going to be provoking people. And then like reframing that to, it is a gift, it's a beautiful thing. Like, yeah, that's very cool that you got that.
No, and the 5 line, I think what is most often misunderstood for the 5 line, that the 5 line are the only people that trigger others or project things onto people. In all relationships, we all project things on each other. Relationships are always a mirror of all of us. So we all
Yeah.
in a way 5 lines, and we all have elements. Like you, for example, if I look at your chart here, you're unconscious Jupiter, you're 5 line. So you are in your Neptune, conscious, you're 5 line, right? So most likely everybody has 5 lines anywhere. And also through the transits, it could be that right now the sun is in a gate in the line 5, and everything will go through all 6 lines over the course of the year many, many, many times. So we all get to taste it. It's just that for the 5 lines, I feel like they are here to teach this energy, to really bring it out and make people aware of it so that we can all learn from it. And it's very funny because I do talk a lot about triggers and how we can learn from relationships, right? How everything that we may see in another person and judge is really, you know, often about ourselves. And really, that's also what the 5 line energy is about. And unfortunately, many 5 lines feel like a victim often, that
Yeah.
they're being misunderstood, or that they have to explain to people, like, hey, I have a projection field, it's not me. No, that's not what you have to do. The more you know that anything that you trigger in people is a gift for them, it is not up to you if they will see that it's something for them. We are all in different levels of consciousness. There may be people that are going to point finger at you and blame the heck out of you, whatever. Send them some love. I know that's not easy always, right? Even for me, obviously, I still have to work on that myself. But the five line, and I also love the part of the five line with, you know, I've always been like this. Okay, there's an issue. Let's get it fixed. Let's come up with a practical solution. Actually, like, it energizes me. It's like, what else can we fix, right? It's a fun energy for me.
Ooh. I love that entire conversation. I feel like what I've always attracted is women like you, women who are fifth lines, who are the ones who feel like, oh, I trigger other people, and they feel, it makes them feel small. They feel like, oh gosh, like this is a heavy thing, a heavy burden I bear. And then I've always been the one that gets triggered, and that has made me feel small. That's made me feel like something's wrong with me. Why does it trigger me all the time? And I feel like that's one thing with this whole chart swap. My traditional human design, Western, what do you call it?
Yeah,
Tropical?
it's tropical.
Okay. So my tropical human design with that 3740, if you look at like the detailed gate expression or line expression to those gates, it really is like, I'm here to learn this incredible lesson around when I am triggered, taking that space, going inward and not projecting it out onto other people, and learning how to manage that. And identify that it's my own, not saying this is you that you did to me, but recognizing this is a lesson for me to internalize, make the moves, do whatever I need to do to move through this and move forward. And so then when I swapped to true sidereal, it was like this call forward, like, okay, you can choose now. Have you mastered that lesson? Are you done playing this victim of, I always get triggered by people, it's so hard. And can you choose to step into this empowered six line who's just like, I stand alongside my sisters? And like, yes, I feel like I'm always going to ebb and flow, but it's no longer this narrative of, I am this lesser than person who gets triggered. It's yeah, that's a part of me. And also, it doesn't make me less than.
Yeah. I also realized that I sometimes created this narrative that as a 2-4, I depend on 5-1s or something like this. Because they in some books it's written like, it's the 5-1s that call out the 2-4s and get invited to the party or something like this. And I was like, it felt a little bit disempowering if I'm looking back at it now. And then when I looked at the chart being a 5-1, I felt a new sense of empowerment.
Yeah, I agree.
I can hide too much sometimes. And also now my conscious son, I mean, my son in astrology is in the third house. That's about connecting with people and my siblings, actually they're in Germany. So they're not right here and there, right? But connecting with my neighbors and talking to people at the gym. And this is something I can be very shy and stay too much home. I really can fall into that. So that was a very important thing for me to like, yeah, step it up a little bit, get a little bit more out of my shell, right? And the other thing that was so interesting is that as a manager, and as you know, right, we are multi-passionate, and I still consider myself being in the generator. I always will be multi-passionate. I have that gate 34 stays in my chart. And you will know how that feels, right? We like to do many different things, just like you bring all the human design, astrology, plant medicine, gene keys, breath work, meditation, all of that, right? That's a typical manager energy. But I have also learned over the years, I think any type can bring a lot of things together, because gate 16 is all about versatility. Gate 34, no matter what your type is about doing all the things. And we all have all these energies in the chart. So, but I have started to realize that I can be too much all over the place sometimes. And that's not serving me either. Even before Cosmic Human Design found me, I spoke a lot about consistency on my podcast here, especially for manifesting generators. Or for the people, you can be a Gemini and relate to it a lot, right? It doesn't even have to be just in manifesting generally, but those of you that feel like you're kind of all over the place, you're multi-passionate, and you're doing everything, but not really moving the needle anywhere so much. And I realized I have to focus a little bit more. I have to stick with things a little bit longer because it's so easy when we feel frustrated. Then I was like, let me move on to the next and pivot too quick and too fast and skip too many steps, you know? And when I saw the generator chart, I was like, oh, okay. It felt like next level of relaxation, and I kind of had to see it, you know? And again, this is so maybe funny for other people that don't know nothing about human design because, well, you know this and know this, like, what the heck? But human design and I and you and human design, I think we have this cosmic relationship where human design or different charts keep showing me something that I just need at this moment in my life, right? Maybe in 2 years, some other kind of fancy astrology is going to come out and I'm going to be a projector. I'm going to be cool with that as well. So, you know.
I think that's the beauty too. I always have said that I love this about human design. I remember reading that Richard Rudd said, like, or not Richard Rudd, he got me on that topic.
You
The
mean
guy
Ra?
who founded, yes, thank you, Ra, that he had said human design is this living, breathing system. Like, it's meant to evolve. And that felt so empowering. I grew up very Christian. It was very black and white. Like, you take these things as it's listed in the Bible. And when I left that, a big reason is because I felt confined. And that's not to say Christianity as a whole is like that. It was just my experience of it. But when I found human design, I think that there were times when I was still like manifesting that same black and white energy into the system. And this has opened me up to, I feel like, a more healthy version in my spirituality of like, yeah, things can shift and evolve, and they should. And we can trust ourselves enough to know what is aligned and when to let go of it. So even though this is hard to explain to people, and I'm sure there are some people who would look at it and be like, okay, well, this is clearly like a dud of a system because you're changing your mind all the time. Like, what is this? I think it's a really beautiful, healthy place that we've landed with this, like letting it flow naturally.
Because otherwise it's really this very fixed thing and you cannot move. It almost makes me feel constricted in some way, right? And yeah, we say, well, it's based on the time you were born. And the deeper I study astrology, I mean, we have a lot of different ways to calculate birth charts. If you just look at Vedic astrology, for example, and even Vedic astrology has lots of different approaches, and then how they calculate it. And it's because at some point somebody decided, let's do it this way. And there are people out there fighting about it and saying, I'm the one that's right. And I have been an astrologer for so many years. Let me tell you what's the right way. You know what? I'm going to go with what feels right to me. I'm not going to make you wrong. I'm not going to make me right. Use what resonates with you at this point in your life and your evolution. And if that changes over time, I congratulate you. That's totally fine. We're humans, we're here to change and evolve. And even the 35th gene key is about change. The only constant we have is change. And you will also find other motivational speakers talk about it without knowing anything about the 35th gene key, right? It's a fundamental law of the universe that we will always have change, and how beautiful it is that honestly, you can look at any human design chart and extract beautiful wisdom from that. So, yeah.
So I'm curious, do you now offer, you do human design readings, I assume, right?
Yeah.
Do you offer like multiple? How does that feel for you? Like, yeah, I can do your true sidereal, or I can do
Yeah.
the other one.
Yeah, I offer still the tropical, you know, especially for people that are new to human design. I think they're gonna get very confused otherwise. I mean, I spend over 4 years just with my tropical chart, you know. And now for those, and I have a lot of people in my audience that are also more advanced with human design, into gene keys, all like you know, into all the things. And they also find this great resonance for true sidereal. So I have already given readings where we look at both charts and I kind of synthesize the commonalities in the charts and the shifts and the changes, and also help the person to really decide for themselves what feels most true to them. I'm not here to tell you what it is. This is really for you to feel into things and feel a new sense of freedom that you get to be both, you get to incorporate both of these elements, right? So yeah, I think it's actually very, very fun. And I now started to also in my programs give people the option to use your tropical chart or use your cosmic chart. You can use both. That's totally up to you. You get to decide that. So this is where I really want to guide people more to be in their own authority and give themselves permission to stick to one chart if that feels right to them, because there are people that maybe like my cosmic human design doesn't resonate at all with me. And that's okay. That's totally fine, It's not because I have this experience that your experience has to be the same. We have to remember that human design is the signs of differentiation, right? We're different people, we're all different. And like you already just said from Ra, you quoted him that this is an evolving system. What does that mean? An evolving system means that, yeah, Ra received this divine wisdom at the time. Now, this was in 1987, long time ago, right? Almost 40 years. So, because now people are like, what do you mean now? Ra was wrong? No, he downloaded this beautiful wisdom, which was exactly what humanity needed at this time to trigger the heck out of us, I think, awaken humanity. I mean, his conscious son, at least in tropical, I think is 51. And now things are changing and shifting. And there are some teachers that will always stick to tropical. Even my teacher, Karen Parker, she talked about and she said, no, if you want to do human design with sidereal astrology, go do it. She said, it doesn't resonate with me, but if it does for you, cool. And that's what I always loved about her. And she encouraged people to do it in their own way. I mean, things change, things evolve. And even with astrology, I'm actually very excited that we're starting to question things. And I mean, for me, I have to say, I'm a very Also, it's my a lot of Capricorn and a lot of Virgo energy in my chart. So everything in my chart is about perfecting things, improving things, making things more accurate, making things more precise. And I have been like this since I'm a child. I sometimes thought there's something wrong because I would find the one penny off somewhere. I would find, even as a manager, and I make my own typos, right? But I see something and I find the one thing that is slightly off, or even if somebody hangs a picture, I just cannot stand it if it's crooked. Like I have to like, can we just make it good for the eye, And I love math, I love numbers, always have, right? And I'm really good at it. So when I had this awakening moment with true sidereal astrology, where the simple fact that you can go to Stellarium, there are all these softwares for free on the internet. And you can look in the sky. And so, right now, for example, as we are recording this, it's March 20th, 2024. People are talking about it's Aries season. The sun is in freaking Pisces, but deep down in Pisces, if you look in the sky. So I'm like, are we like fooling ourselves? Or, I mean, it's really like you can look at it. Like, and there are tons of anybody that has a phone, grab your phone, download one of these free apps, and look in the sky. It's like in the middle of Pisces. And again, I don't want to make tropical wrong or anything, but at this point, I just have to say this feels more true to you. And I feel like deeply in Pisces season from that energy. So, yeah.
Yeah, it really is. It's just, this is what I think a big part of like building a divine feminine business looks like to me, is like guiding people in this thing that you and I are mastering of like, and not mastering, that's, it's a continual journey to not come back to that structured mind of like right and wrong, black and white, right? Virgo, whatever we want to call it. I'm a Virgo moon in tropical astrology. I'm getting all the words confused in my brain. But yeah, I don't know. It's a really powerful thing to like break free from that box and help women align with this like more fluid, flowy way of thinking. And that's what I love about breathwork too. I found that to be a really empowering way to be like, you know within yourself. Let me just show you some of the ways the breathing patterns kind of guide you, flowy, to that answer within yourself. So I love that you're doing that. I think that's so beautiful. And I've had this same vision of like, I don't know, pairing the two, or maybe it will be people like me who already know human design. I'm actually doing a birthday reading for one of my girlfriends where I'm going to guide her in some breath work. And then I got her into tropical human design back a year or two ago. And so now I'm doing a true sidereal one for her
That's
because she
awesome.
already kind of knows. So it is very like intuitive.
I think we have to be actually very responsible with this, I think is the right word, because we have to pick up people or meet people where they're at. Just because I'm now all into my cosmic human design chart does not mean that it's true for everybody else.
Yeah, more empowering for them.
And I'm a wizard when it comes to reading human design charts. Like, I can tell you all the stories and tune into the chart intuitively. It's like painting for me. It's fun, it's easy. And I would be of disservice if I'm gonna tell now, oh, I'm only gonna do readings for people that are into now cosmic human design and everything else is wrong. I think that would be super wrong, you know? Because it's more about educating people that there are different options if this comes up, you know, because the majority of people are in tropical human design, obviously, because even the gene keys is using the tropical system. So it's based on the gates that you have in the tropical human design chart. I'm curious if they're going to be open at some point to create a true sidereal version. I haven't reached out. We'll see. So I mean, you can easily make your chart by yourself manually. I already did a couple of videos about it because
Oh, cool.
it's once you know which gene key comes from which gate in your human design chart, you can take any human design chart, no matter what system it's based on, and then contemplate your gene keys. And in the gene keys itself, I know I probably have mentioned this 100 times already, I feel at least. Maybe you guys are listening to this podcast a lot. You will be like, here she comes again. But in the Pearl sequence and in the Gene Keys, which is the very last of the three sequences, Richard Rudd says in the book, well, and the biggest joke of all is that all 64 Gene Keys apply to all of us. And for me, that was so beautiful because that's always what I felt. You know, and since the beginning, when I learned human design, and I have even certified people in human design, I have taught people in human design how to do readings and all the things, right? And I stand so behind it because I have always, even before I knew that cosmic human design even existed, or even before my mind could comprehend that your human design chart could look differently, you know, when the astrology changes. I was so delighted because I have always taught human design from a very all-inclusive perspective, where I always was very careful with this, like boxing yourself in because you're this type. Because I really have noticed anytime we get too much stuck in the types, it's mainly in the shadows, nothing else. You know, when I see people with an undefined sacral, they tell themselves that they don't have any kind of energy. That's not what this means at all. They're highly successful, higher energetic, multi-casual projectors out there, you know?
In
And
fact, I found almost the opposite, that the projectors in my life, I'm like, damn, they just go and go and go.
and there's a lot of generators and managers that are super tired, exhausted, and burned out, you know? So we really have to see what is the common message of human design. And for me, it always goes back to get out of your head, get into your body, and trust yourself. Honestly, we don't really need more than that. Obviously, all the other stuff is some nice candy, helps us and validates us, because all these 64 gates and all these 64 gene keys, they carry ancient wisdom from the Chinese I Ching, from the hexagrams. To me, it's like it explains how the universe works, how manifestation works, how we are supposed to not live a life from manifesting from ego, Because that's what we think we want or what society has told us we want, but where we are actually leaning into the desire to be a vessel for a greater purpose, to be a vessel for God, source, universe, however you want to call it, whether the cosmic energy that we're all part of, right? Where we are allowing to be the vessel for whatever wants to come through us. And I first learned this from Gabby Bernstein. When I first started my self-development journey, I remember she did like a 3-day masterclass series or something like this. And I remember I had like a note card and I wrote it down there, this question she recommended to ask every morning: how can I be a vessel for my divine purpose? Because when we put this first, all the other desires will be aligned with that. But when we put our ego desires first, like I want to make X amount of money, I want to have the house, I want to have the marriage or the external stuff, I think we have more proof than we can count that that's not what's going to make us happy. There are way too many millionaires out there that have told us already, like, yeah, it's not the money, don't have the illusion, right? So that's something I'm actually working on myself a lot, because I've always had this weird thing when it came to people telling me, like, you need to know what you want. There was something within me where I was like, hold on. Because if it comes from the wrong place, this is really going in the very wrong direction. If it comes from a place of wanting to be and being open, allowing to be a vessel for that I'm here for, which is then two line energy, what am I here for? To do the thing that comes easy to me. There's a reason why Aubrey has these gifts and talents. There's a reason you went through your struggles and beautiful journeys and all of this, right? So that you now get to teach this. And you could fight it and you could force yourself, no, I have to be a lawyer because that's what my parents told me. And my ego wants it, and that's how I'm going to make a lot of money. So, yeah, I went on a tangent.
Yeah. No, I love that. I feel like really what you're saying is so aligned with, the core principles of how I try to move. And it's not perfect. It's still a learning journey to like decondition the mind and body from that, like, I have to do it this way, the hustle and grind, or whatever that looks like, that the fear of money, the things that push us to act out of like flow. But yeah, what resonates with me is I just keep feeling, I was just telling a friend this yesterday, like with this switch in human design, I'm like, you know what? Human design is a tool. It's not for everyone. It's not the end all be all, but for me, it's fun. So that's how I know it's aligned. Like it just feels fun. It's playful. I love to talk about it. So that to me, that just feels aligned. And yeah, I know like breath work. This, like entrepreneurship, even is not for everyone, but I love it. I love this
Exactly.
world.
Yeah. No, it's also like, there are some people that love the Enneagram, for example. And I've had many times people tell me, like, oh my God, you need to check it out. But I have not responded to it. There's maybe at some point it will, but maybe it will never. I do have a feeling that my genius is more wanted with human design and gene keys because it comes so easy to me. And I especially love to see a visual. Because the human design
Oh,
chart
yeah. Yeah.
with the visual component makes things click for me. It helps me understand the thing with the intuition, and we're here to respond to life and divine timing from the root center and self-worth and the will center and how the emotions work. I had an understanding of it, but really, when I understood the solar plexus with the emotions from the defined and the undefined, both, because you can only understand it from looking at both perspectives. It's like you cannot have a coin if you don't have two sides. You cannot understand any center if you don't look at the defined and undefined.
Yeah, or like the
Only,
higher and lower expression of the gates. I felt that way a lot.
they only coexist. And also, exactly from the gates and the gene keys, the shadow or the lower expression made me realize that, oh my God, we all have these fears. I'm not the only one. Gave me so much more compassion for myself. And then you are like, okay, you see somebody's chart and you know exactly what their fears are. It's almost scary, but it's often so accurate. And then people feel seen. And it's such a shortcut tool, right? Because people spend years and decades trying to hide the shadow side of themselves because we don't know how to handle it. And I feel like human design is just giving us permission, and also specifically with the gene keys, because the gene keys has this big message that the gift is in the shadow. If you're trying to fake it, if you're trying to pretend you don't have any kind of fears, you're not going to access the gift. Sorry, not sorry, you know?
No, I love that you say that because I've always fixated on the shadows. Because to me, noticing the shadows and the gates and ourselves, whatever, is how you recognize and like build that awareness of when you're in it. And you can be like, oh, okay, at least I have this self-awareness to be able to shift it and move through. But yeah, it's the concept, same concept as like spiritual bypassing, you know, like you gotta look at those shadows. Which can be a weird, confronting thing as a guide in like a human design session. People think like, oh, I'm gonna go and it's gonna be fun. And you're like, okay, I'm showing you both sides of this. Like you gotta have the full spectrum of awareness to know the fullness of you.
And also that we're not afraid of the shadows anymore, right? That we must see them as a gift, because they open us more up to the gift itself. That's really
Yeah, I
hidden,
agree.
hidden within. And also communication, like relationship dynamics, is so easy to extract from any two or three or four different human design charts when people come together. So yeah, it's just for all areas of life. It's such a fun, cool
Yeah, it
tool
is.
to have.
It is just a fun tool. I love it.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Or I wouldn't be
That's why I'm marketing it. Exactly. So how do
love
you feel that now being more aligned with the 4-6 generator in the chart? Like how does that in particular resonate with you?
The generator part, yeah, I was going to tell you about that. That feels like actually, I think that the old me from a place of ego really like clung to the MG part of me. It was like, oh, I've got that manifester energy. Because I'm sure you know, like so many people see manifester and they put that on a pedestal, kind of similar to like fifth lines, I feel. But where I finally got, right? And where I finally got in my evolution is I agree with you. I think that I had destigmatized and like unraveled that notion that MGs are the only multi-passionate, like multi-hyphenate people who can be great at many things. And what I feel really called to in this phase of life is like, okay, we're not using this excuse of being an MG anymore to be like, oh, that's why I quit things or that's why I bounce around. Like now we're focused, we're disciplined, we're creating and pouring our energy into the, even though it is multi-passionate, each of these things we're so intentionally curating and crafting each piece meticulously. So yeah, I love it. I love that. And then the 4-6, I was so glad I kept the fourth line. Like it would have really altered my opinion about this if I had lost that, because I'm so deeply identified to my fourth line. Like I love my people. I'm curating this network of women that I just adore. And I find connections with ease through those women. Like the way I found you, I randomly talked to a chick that I randomly felt found through another friend. Like, it's just so fourth line to me. So, yeah.
But I tell you from my experience, I'm totally cool because I'm such a four line myself, and now I'm a 5-1. I think I still have four lines in my chart. I haven't counted them, but in my astrology now, I think I have a stellium in the 11th house. I have a lot of 11 house energy, which is all about community and a bigger vision for that, right? So I tend to see in the different charts that something we really identify a lot, or something that resonates so deeply, you find it then also in other aspects of the chart. And also, I always like to count all the lines and all of the different gates we have in the chart. And you will see that, you may still have a lot of four lines even in all the other elements in the chart, right? You may even have more four lines now than you had on your old chart altogether. I don't know, but a fun exercise, definitely to do. But I hear you. It's cool. Like if that it was such an important thing for you, then I also have several things that I'm really, really really connected in my chat, and I still have them in both chats, like Gate 45, the 214 channel, the 5734 channel. I have all in like both of the charts. Also the defined spleen, the defined G center, the sacral. You know what was the biggest truth bomb for me with the tropical versus the cosmic? So I had a defined throat center in my tropical chart, right? I can pull up my chart. So I have the actually to put up my chart.
Oh, I was like, wow, yours is really similar to mine.
Huh?
That's fine.
Oh,
I was thinking that
similar
was your chart. I
chart.
was
Yeah,
like,
no.
wow.
So this is my tropical chart. So I have that wool center to the throat. And the message was like, you need to know what you want. And I have consistent access to my throat, right? To speaking and talking. And I swear to you, when I was growing up, I always felt when I was around another person, I would start to speak like the other person, right? I would pick up words people said. So, and also when I do a podcast, like now, for example, I really feel like I need to take a rest. Or when I have a master class, max is 2 hours, I can no more. Like I just feel tired. There's no more throat energy. I have to be quiet. And I have very talkative times. And then I don't want to talk at all, which is not really the defined throat center.
Mine goes and goes.
I kept justifying that with the defined will center, that I was like, well, my will center needs rest. That's how I kept, intellectually making sense of it for myself. Now, my true sidereal chart, as you can see, Annalena has an undefined throat. You have no idea. And this is also, I have a split. That is where I have potentially the most conditioning, the center that is this between the split. And this is absolutely true for me. Oh my gosh.
Resonated.
It was so resonating. Also with the 12, everything. And this is just like, and then I need to talk things out. I have this all the time because of that big split I have, or the small split. No, actually, I have a large split in this chart. I need to be around other people and I need to talk things out to get my clarity, even though I have that sacral response, right? And I also, if I'm being really honest, I don't consider myself a person that has this natural willpower. And now I have an undefined,
That was a shift for me too.
Oh, the other one. So in my tropical, I have a lot of air energy. Like it was actually I had a trine in air, like everything air. Also, I think I was a Gemini moon, now I'm a Taurus moon.
Oh,
So,
wow.
and I had an undefined, so undefined root center. And people always told me that I'm so grounding. Like over and over again, you're so calm and grounding. And I thought maybe I shouldn't be so grounding, there's something wrong with me or something. Now it shifted into true sidereal. I'm all earth energy. And I have a defined root, like a mega defined root.
Ooh,
As
I
you can
love
see in
that.
my chart, right? And I'm a Taurus moon. And I'm a Capricorn, all earth signs. And I have so much Virgo in my chart. Everything is earth.
What's your big three in astrology and true sidereal?
So I'm a Capricorn sun. I'm a Taurus moon and a Scorpio ascendant rising. And I was Aquarius, so my tropical Aquarius, Gemini moon, Aquarius sun, and Sagittarius rising. I mean, I could,
I feel like
but I really relate much more to the true sidereal. Like I'm not saying I don't relate to the tropical, but when I saw my true sidereal, I didn't even know that I can have such great resonance. Because
I
everything
get
that
that.
felt slightly like I have to mold myself into it in the tropical, all of a sudden disappeared. That's my experience. I'm not saying that's the same for everybody, right? And I don't think without having spent so much time with my tropical, I would have found this. I think I had to go through this trial and error. I had to go through this experience so that I could also realize how I can also just blindly just, oh yeah, this is what it is. And now I have learned so much again that it's about trusting myself, because there were things I deeply questioned myself, but I was trying to mentally figure it out or fit in so it find thought center.
Yeah,
So.
that's how I felt about the I had a defined heart and then it became undefined. And that made so much sense to me. I mean, honestly, all the centers and the shifts that happened, every single one of them resonated. So that was powerful too. And then
You have defined here. And then,
I went from defined heart to undefined. And I just felt like that's been a constant struggle as I've jumped into entrepreneurship and like rewiring all these beliefs around what structure and stability looks like in a career and all of the things, all of the work to do there. I have struggled with that feeling of needing to prove myself. And I've talked through this with my husband so much, and he's just like, just do what you want.
I have had these phases. I feel so like so much willpower. I'm gonna do this, and I feel like I
Yeah.
can do everything at once. And then I sit down, and all of a sudden, it's like
Goes.
completely
Yes.
gone.
Yep. I've had to
And
be really cognizant to like not make promises when I'm in a moment of, and now I know in true sidereal human design, my husband went from being a projector with only his root, spleen, and ESP defined to now he has everything but his sacral and I think his head.
Oh,
And
wow.
I'm like, oh, so I'm in that like heart, that will energy. And that's why I have this insane pressure I experience in my body around him to like show up to prove myself. And it cycles that pattern that I got in childhood. So
Interesting.
I don't know. I could see my dad having had a defined will. And then it's like I carried this pattern. And it was just a beautiful way to explain like this is that thing. And I always was like, I don't know why I struggle with this. I have a defined will. I'm supposed to not.
So much relief, right? Wow, we could talk forever
Right?
about this so much.
Literally all day, I know.
Yeah, I know my audience is gonna love this because I have lots of people that have really enjoyed the journey into true sidereal and all these different perspectives. And I have been always very all-encompassing and looking at different perspectives and how the types overlap and all these kind of things. So I really
Yep, I love
love
that.
your curiosity, your openness, and all that you have shared with us. So, Aubrey, how can people get in contact with you? Please let us know.
Yeah, the main thing is my Instagram. So Aubrey by Design over there. I mean, if people are like, I don't do Insta, I have an email, aubreybydesign@gmail.
Okay, perfect. Wonderful. So I'm gonna make sure I drop it in the show notes. And my final question to you, as I always ask my guests this, what's one final nugget of wisdom you wanna leave the listeners with? Perhaps something that was life-changing for you.
You know, I really feel like the main thing is what we covered. It's just like when it comes to finding your path, it should feel good. It should feel fun. You should be able to trust your own inner wisdom and like take what serves you, leave the rest. That's kind of all I have to say with my nuggets of wisdom. I'm figuring this thing out too.
Yeah, awesome. I love it. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Aubrey. I truly enjoyed
Yeah.
speaking with you. I feel like you're a sister.
Thank you.
And
It was so nice to finally meet you. This was lovely.
yeah, it was fun, right? And it happened out of the blue. We both didn't know each other and we felt a connection. Very similar journey. I think it's always so fun, right? When we realize like we're not the only one that feel a certain way, because
Yes.
we can question ourselves like, well, should I feel this way? Or
Yep.
And
Yeah, it was so validating. Just even our voice notes back and forth, let alone this podcast, to be like, I'm not alone. Someone has such a similar experience.
exactly. And if you listeners have a similar experience, welcome to our world. And like Aubrey said, use what supports you, what feels good, and leave the rest. And as always, thank you so much for listening. I love having you all. Thank you again, Aubrey. It was such a delight to have you, and I'm very excited to be with you all on the next episode. Thank you for listening to this episode. And if you enjoyed what you heard today, then please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on iTunes. And if you also know someone that you know in your heart could benefit from listening to this podcast, then I invite you to please share and help me reach more conscious leaders so we together can create global impact. I truly appreciate you and see you next time.